A second fire had sprung from a carriage in the rear, and all up and down the train people still clambered and crawled out of doors and windows, the well-bodied helping the wounded, carrying them out on their backs and on makeshift stretchers. Near the front of the train, a woman jumped from a carriage, her dress in flames, and began to run. A man chased after her, but she raced on, her mouth open in a cry I couldn't hear. And then I heard the shrieks of terrified horses, shrill and piercing, sounding so much like my black mare Athena that I had a panic second before I remembered she was safe at home. I strained my eyes to find the animals amidst the smoke, plunging and struggling against their handlers, but there were none. It took a moment for me to realize what was happening. The horses were burning alive in the stock cars. The thought of them tortured by the sparks on their skin, pounding the doors with their hooves and screaming in terror, brought hot tears to my eyes. I put my fists in my mouth to keep from screaming myself. Finally, the water trucks arrived, the workhorses balking in the traces, until the drivers used their whips to drive them toward the burning wreck. Men in shirt sleeves pumped furiously, while others directed hoses toward the worst of the blaze until at last the flames began to subside. All around us people crowded, sitting in the dirt, or on a few scattered rocks, old men and young, the landed gentry side by side with peasants, foreigners beside English folk, well-dressed ladies next to women in ragged shawls. The disaster made no distinctions. A low, savage cry made me look up. A man limped by, passing close enough for me to touch, holding a child to his chest, as tenderly as if she were asleep, and he were carrying her to bed. But her brown hair was singed short, her light blue dress was blackened and in shreds around her thin legs and her arm. I could no longer look or listen. With a sob, I put my head down, clasped my hands over my ears, and shut my eyes. Tight.